This show is sponsored by Audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/embracerunning. You're listening to the Embrace Running Podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Elena, and this is episode number 89 for September 23rd, 2013.
Welcome to the podcast, where I always say we talk about running. We're here with our, I guess, a rag over from the weekend, as they call it.
Yeah.
So that's a combination of Ragnar and a hangover from just having done the race this past weekend.
Yeah, not a traditional hangover.
Definitely not.
No, just from doing a Ragnar.
Yeah, we did Ragnar Napa Valley. Actually didn't drink any post-race beer or wine.
Or during the race.
True. That was kind of a given, I guess.
Yeah, but, I guess.
But yeah. So we'll get into that towards the end, kind of talk about how the race and the whole weekend went. Kind of ended up being a little different than kind of what we expected. Mother Nature had a big part in that, I guess.
I guess we should just plan on that from now on with our races.
Just the possibility of bad weather.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a little bit of a CIM flashback, I guess. Although nothing close to being that bad.
No, not at all.
All right, let's talk a little bit about our weekend training, I guess.
Okay. You want me to go first? Actually?
Sure.
Okay. Mine's pretty short. I did absolutely no cross training at all.
Awesome.
A bunch of donuts.
Nailed it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mean I ate donuts. Like just zero cycling, zero weight training, zero swimming. And a big part of that, I think, was just getting ready for Ragnar. Not necessarily like tapering, but just I was too busy trying to get stuff ready.
Right.
You know, that I didn't really have time to do anything else other than run. So I did run. And my weekly total was just shy of 41 miles. That it's including my three legs at Ragnar, which we'll get into later. So overall, a good running week, but no cross training at all. But I'm not too bummed about that. I think this week will be different.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll have hopefully more time since I won't be getting ready for a race this weekend. So that was my week. So really, really short and sweet. So how was your week?
Very similar, I guess.
Okay.
I did one run. I think it was only a mile and a half. Still dealing with the same knee issues. Not a surprise there. Kind of same thing. Busy at the end of the week getting last minute stuff ready for Ragnar. Last minute coordinating on, you know, who's picking up who and grabbing the van and, you know, packing all the stuff and making sure you got everything. So that was kind of the end of the week. Kind of all consuming there. And yeah, I guess that's it for the week.
Yeah, super short, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I only ran the once because kind of wanted to rest up a little bit before the weekend. So didn't want to hurt anything going into the race. And yeah, packing, and that was it.
Did you run that time just to kind of see how things would feel before Ragnar?
I think I'm going to kind of get back into normal training mode.
Okay.
So I'm going to be getting back into 3 days a week running regularly, just really low mileage at this point.
Got it.
And then, like I said, I mentioned physical therapy before. I'll start physical therapy on Wednesday of this week. So I can share a little bit next weekend. Or next episode about kind of how that went and what I'm going to be doing for the next 4 to 6 weeks and see how that works out. So appointment in 2 days and no idea really what to expect. I've actually never been to physical therapy ever before. So kind of a new thing. Kind of will be interesting, I guess. Hopefully not too painful. Hopefully they don't work me too hard.
Exactly.
Be like, go easy on me, please.
Yeah.
And then we'll see what kind of exercises they give me to do coming home, I guess. So.
And then if you do them.
All right, let's jump into kind of what's going on in the running world this past weekend. Big races from around the country, I guess. Nothing international on the list here today. Ironman Tahoe, which I actually knew some people who were out there for that. Ragnar Relay Napa Valley.
Yeah.
I know some people who do that too.
Yeah.
Actually know a lot of people. Flagstaff Marathon, Fox Valley Marathon, Fox Cities Marathon, and Fifth Avenue Mile in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the big races. Running news, what are we going to talk about? Boston Marathon registration closed.
Right.
So that's done and that's set.
Yeah, Boston 2014.
Yeah, so a final field size, they're going to have 36,000 runners.
Uh-huh.
So that would be, their normal limit would be 27,000. They had invited the 5,600 people who were stopped at the race this past year to come back. So I think they figured about 5,000 of those people coming back to run it. And then they actually added an extra 4,000 slots just to give more spots because they knew so many people wanted to run the race.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be the field size for 2014.
It'll be interesting to see what the field size will be for 2015 because I have a feeling it's going to be somewhere between, what did you say, 27,000?
27, I guess is the most recent.
Yeah, I think it's going to be something between 27 and 36.
Yeah, I know they were talking. They were talking to race officials this past week and kind of said, you know, why go back to 27,000 in 2015 if you can handle 36,000? So I don't think they're going to stick with 36,000. I'm sure they're going to drop that down, but, you know, 30,000 sounds like a good number.
Yeah.
I could actually see that happening. You know, that adds another 3,000 in the future. And obviously, if you can pull it off next year with 36,000 people, with, I'm sure it's going to be a lot of security and a lot of paying attention to logistics, I think 30,000 might seem possible. Of course, that all assumes everything goes smoothly and there's no issues.
That's true.
With that size.
Yeah.
But
maybe it doesn't go as smooth. No, I'm going to say it will.
I think so, too. Yeah. I think, you know, Boston's
kind of,
they know what they're doing.
Yeah, they got to dial down.
Yeah. What else is going on? Carrie Goucher? Not going to do the New York City Marathon?
No.
So stress fracture?
Stress fracture.
So that's kind of a bummer, it's a bummer, actually.
So we'll kind of just see how, you know, how that goes with her recovery and everything. But mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a bummer.
Interesting article you actually pointed me to this week.
Yeah.
Was from I guess, a Philly writer. Calculated how far Rocky went on his training run in Rocky 2.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if you people remember, like, the training, you know, there's always a training montage in every Rocky movie, but
the only one I remember is Rocky 4.
Like the snow.
Right. I want somebody to figure that out. Yeah. But anyways.
I think that's impossible. So.
Okay. Back to Rocky 2.
So in Rocky 2, you know, he's like running around in his plain gray sweats. It's kind of funny. Nobody runs in sweats anymore. Like old cotton style. Sweats.
Yeah.
But yeah. So the montage is him running around Philly. And I guess, you know, if you're, you know, I've never been to Philly, so I would be no help, but I guess the writer, and with the help of other people, kind of spotted all the landmarks that he ran through and then kind of calculated.
Like mapped his course, I guess?
Yeah, calculated if that was one continuous run, and assuming the montage from the movie was in order, what he would have run.
Yeah.
So based on the montage in the movie, he actually did almost 30 miles.
Yep.
So who knew that Rocky...
ultra.
Yeah, Rocky was an ultra runner.
Yeah, no
or
kidding.
At least a marathoner.
Right.
Which, you know... If anybody knows boxing, there's no way they ever run that kind of distance.
No way.
Ever. But I thought it was actually kind of funny. So I'll put a link to the article, and it actually has kind of a breakdown of all the spots that he ran. And actually, they did a Google map of the actual route and all the mileage. And of course, the order that it was in the movie would be a crazy order to run it, because you're basically doubling back and jumping from one side of town to the other side of town, which is why it's so many miles.
Right.
Because, you know, obviously when they did the movie, they don't care about that type of thing.
Yeah.
So.
But it being in order. I wonder, like why somebody thought to do this just initially.
I don't know. Like, I guess you got to be a Rocky fan and just...
And a runner, maybe?
And
be like, hey, I wonder.
Yeah, it'd be interesting if any of the other movies, you can kind of figure out the kind of mileage that he did. But just kind of a funny note, I guess we should mention. Ragnar news, before we actually talk about Ragnar race. Ragnar Trails, they've actually announced 3 new locations. So I think 2 of these are 2014 and one's 2015, right?
I'm not sure.
If I recall, that's what it was. So, new locations, Snowmass, Colorado, Atlanta, Georgia.
Mm-hmm. They didn't have a specific, you know, location other than just Atlanta.
Atlanta. Pretty broad.
Right.
And the other one will be in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you're near any of those and you want to do a Ragnar Trail, there's one coming to you.
Right.
The other thing we noticed from the Ragnar Trail people this week was they actually, I don't know how they did it, but I guess Tahoe, which we did.
Right.
And we talked about how hard it was. Was voted, I guess, the toughest trail, Ragnar, that they've had as of yet.
Right.
So there was some debate on, you know, the comments on that, but I don't know even know how they figured it out.
I have no idea.
But I feel kind of not vindicated.
But, I was going to say that too, but...
That's probably not the right word.
That's not the right word.
But definitely
justified?
Some, yeah, justified in saying
yeah.
when we were kind
that
of talking
tough?
About... Yeah. So I was really happy to see that, you know. If I had seen something like, oh, Tahoe voted easiest, I would have been like, what? You know, that's totally crazy.
Like, I can never do another Ragnar Trail because I barely made it out of that one.
Right.
Yeah.
And we had talked about looking at some of the maps from other Ragnar Trails, and
right.
they seemed much easier than what we did in Tahoe. So,
but it's hard to tell, like, really. But, I mean, when you kind of have them saying that, then it makes you feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
And it gave me some reassurance for if I ever did a different trail,
race.
Ragnar Trail.
It would be much more doable.
Yeah, or at least more doable.
Okay, before we get to our race recap, let's take a moment to thank our sponsor for this episode, Audible.com. They are the leader in spoken word entertainment. Over 150,000 books available. You can download the app on your phone, listen in your car, listen while you're out doing your long run.
Or your short run.
Or your short run. Good thing is it saves your spot, so you can just continue
right.
when you jump back in there.
It automatically bookmarks for you.
Yes.
So we've been talking about different books in the last couple of weeks in terms of ones that we've been listening to on Audible, and back to a running related book this week. So The Long Run. It's kind of a really long title, the whole thing. So it's The Long Run, One Man's Attempt to Regain His Athletic Career and His Life by Running the New York City Marathon. So it's a really long title, but a lot of people just know it as The Long Run. So I actually listened to this book, and it's, I think it's like just under 9 hours total, you know, because you're listening to it. So it's actually about a New York City firefighter. His name is Matt Long, who was actually cycling to work, I think in 2005, when he was struck by and sucked under a 20-ton bus making an illegal turn. So needless to say, suffered like major injuries, was in the hospital, tons of surgeries, pretty much had to relearn to walk. You know, was told you're not going to run again, you know, that sort of thing. And so it just kind of chronicles his road to recovery as he, like I said, kind of, you know, learns to walk and do all that again. And then training to run the 2008 New York City Marathon. So just 3 years later. So it was, it's a very interesting book. Very inspirational. I don't think I'm, you know, doing any spoiler alerts because it's basically, you know, in the title and everything, you know, pretty much what happens. But it's yeah, I mean, you definitely, you know, like feel for this guy and then just get really inspired that he like overcame this crazy thing that could potentially happen to anybody, you know, and then, you know, made it through. So, yeah.
So definitely recommend the book.
Definitely recommend it.
I'll also throw in on a lighter note, a non-running related book that I actually haven't read, but Billy Crystal's actually been making the rounds on the talk shows
because
he has a new book called Still Fooling Him. So, and it's actually read by him. So it's his voice that you'll see.
Interesting.
Or see, you won't see it, but you'll hear it.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
But you can envision it.
Yeah.
So very, very notable voice. The only warning, I guess there is a lot of foul language in it.
Oh, okay. So disclaimer there.
Disclaimer there. But that's something I'd actually like to listen to sometime in the future because I'm kind of a Billy Crystal fan.
Yeah.
I think he's a pretty funny guy.
What's the name of the title? What's the name of the title? What's the name of the book again?
Still Fooling Him.
Okay. Like fooling, like a fool?
Like F-O-O-L-I-N.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
It's kind of hard to, I guess.
No, I know, yeah.
Read that out. There's actually some more to the title, but that's the main part. So
don't miss got it.
So there's a recommendation. You can listen to that and thousands of other options. You can get a free audiobook and a 30-day free trial today by signing up at audiblepodcast.com/embracerunning, and we thank them for their support of the show. All right, let's jump into our race recap, I guess, of Ragnar Relay Napa Valley.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'll... If you've listened to this podcast for a long time, I guess you've heard of us talking about Ragnar before because this is not a new race for us. We've done Napa. This is our third time doing it. There's only been three, so we've done them all. So we're a legacy, right?
That's true.
I was actually explaining
I didn't even think about that.
I was explaining that to some people in my van, actually, about what being a legacy.
I didn't even think about that. So now we just have to keep it going.
Yeah.
And maybe, stop it.
So let me, I guess I'll do the...
A quick...
The 1 minute elevator pitch for Ragnar.
Okay, I'm going to time you. No, I'm just kidding.
So, 200 mile relay race, run with 12 people, 6 people in each van. Each person is going to run a total of 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
And then each van one, everybody runs once, you pass it off to van two, and you just keep going like that back and forth until everybody's run 3 times and you completed the 200 miles for the race.
Right. You've gotten from the start to the finish.
Yes.
Then there is some variations to that, like ultra teams, which are only 6 people, but in general, this is the majority. How the majority of the teams work.
Okay. So was that 1 minute? No.
That was less than a minute.
Okay, awesome.
That was like 30 seconds or something.
So that's the gist of it. I always say it's kind of hard to explain Ragnar in detail.
Right.
Because it's very complicated.
I mean, and there's no, like somebody's always running on your team.
Yes.
Like it's not like you're off from like 10 p.m. to 8 a.m. or something. Right. No, it's like.
You run through the night.
Yeah. That's like somebody's always running. Somebody's always running. So.
And the interesting thing is if you do run a Ragnar relay, you will end up explaining to people during the race what it is because you will have people coming up to you on the street going, what are you guys doing? What's going on?
We see you guys all over the place. What's going on? And you might get those questions like at the oddest times too, like at 3 in the morning. Like, what are you guys doing?
I actually did have a guy come up to me and one teammate it was about 2:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And he just walked up and he's like, what race is this? He's like, I'm a runner. And I literally live like right over there. He like pointed to his house. Mm-hmm. He's like, what's going on? So we kind of explained it to him and he was like, oh, cool. Okay. And I was like, all right. I was like, well, that's kind of weird getting somebody coming up to me at like 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
But I guess if this whole commotion is going on outside of your house, you might come outside and take a look.
You're like, what in the world is going on out there? Yeah.
Okay. So for us this year, we've always run Napa in separate vans.
And we did that again this year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the first time that I've actually been van 2.
Yeah.
And the first time that you've been van one for Napa. So the nice thing was we actually got to see some new scenery.
Yeah,
this time
before,
and kind of run at some very different times, which mm-hmm. I think was very good for you and maybe not so good for me.
Mm-hmm. I think it made your van appreciate what we had done, what my van had done the last 2 years a little bit more in terms of time.
Okay.
No?
I don't want to concede anything because I don't want to give in to negotiations for next year on who's going to be which van.
No, I'm just saying, just in general. Like, no, I think you're right. So, okay.
I think we've definitely had it.
Okay, let's be honest here.
Yeah, van one has definitely had it easier the last 2 years or the previous 2 years.
Right. And even mileage-wise, van two is, has a little bit more mileage overall.
Right. Always has. One. Although that difference is closed.
Right.
Every single year it gets a little bit closer.
Well, they keep adding mileage to the race. So.
To van one, yeah. Really. So your van kicked it off at around 7:30 a.m. in San Francisco.
Golden Gate Park.
Which meant a very early start for you guys to kind of like everybody get together and meet up and drive out there.
Right, like 7:30 doesn't sound that early, but you got to be there like an hour and a half to check in, do your safety training that you have to do. Mm-hmm. Show them that everybody has a reflective vest. You got like, at least 2 flashlights or headlamps, all of that. And then, pick up your shirts, pick up your ribs. So yeah, getting there at 6:30. Okay, that's a little earlier now. Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, getting kind of everybody together and figuring out the whole transportation issue. So,
yeah, you guys met up in East Bay, which is basically an hour away.
Right. So it was an early morning. I mean, this is weekday, so you don't know what traffic's going to be like, too. Right.
Got to wait some time for that.
Yeah.
So early start for you. My van wasn't going to kick it off until almost noon, which was awesome because we all got to sleep in, which was a change for us.
Yeah.
So we actually liked that quite a bit. That was kind of nice.
Not having to do a super early start. Right. Actually, in comparison to the last 2 years, do you remember what our start times were the last 2 years? It was
always 8:30 in the past.
Okay, so traditionally you guys have started later anyways.
Yes.
Okay.
So you guys really had it.
Even earlier.
Yes.
Yeah. But they did add, like I said, they did add more mileage, so it made sense to kind of start earlier.
Yeah. So you guys kicked it off 7:30. You got to run, like you said, Golden Gate Park in San Francisco, which was cool, right? I mean, I wasn't there, so you tell me.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, I don't think our runner was in Golden Gate Park for very long.
But for like a minute.
Yeah.
And then your second runner actually got to run across the Golden Gate Bridge.
They actually ran on the beach for a while, literally on the beach, some trails close to the beach, and then on Golden Gate Bridge.
Unfortunately, it was a famous foggy day, right? Yeah,
like a typical San Francisco weather type day. Super foggy, can't like see the bridge. Yeah,
which so you guys told you told me it was foggy, and then I didn't see the pictures actually until like an hour ago. From the bridge, anyway. And I was like, ooh, really? You really couldn't see anything?
Yeah. Super foggy.
Which is kind of a bummer. So the runner that we actually had to do the bridge really wanted to do the bridge.
And still really enjoyed doing the bridge.
He enjoyed it?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, maybe he has to do it again because he...
Well, he might have to, but I think maybe everybody else will rotate through before he gets to do it again.
So, yeah. So you guys went through all your first runs. You guys hand off to us at Exchange 6. It was a little bit before noon, I think. You guys actually ran ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
Which we kind of expected.
Right.
My team...
Can I talk a little bit about my run?
Oh, please.
My first one?
Absolutely.
Before we... Are we just going to kind of go blow?
No, go ahead.
Okay. So my first one was a 6.6 miler. And it started off somewhere like by a marina or something like that. So it was kind of odd just running by there. And then it kind of cut into like just random town area, with like just fast food stuff. So that's always kind of a little weird. You always get like those legs that are a little odd where you're just running by like a gas station and a McDonald's or, something like that. But then it was interesting. It actually cut into residential area with a nice big hill, which I saw on, my leg map, which they always, give to you. I mean, you have it, in the what they call the rag mag, which basically has everything you need to know about the race and all the maps and everything for all the legs and directions on how to get there. But I guess I didn't really realize like how much of an incline it was in a short period of time. So it was probably like 400 or 500 feet. So, it was challenging, but I was kind of happy that I was doing it because you don't generally get to do hills like that on a regular Ragnar. Like I don't remember ever running up a hill like that on Ragnar. Do you?
No.
Okay.
Nothing like that.
Yeah. So it was kind of, it was definitely interesting. And then you get to the top of the hill and then it's stairs. And so it's funny because there's a bunch of us out there and we're like, really? Like stairs right now? It was just funny. So I actually passed a couple people on the stairs. And then the really, really nice part of that leg was that then it was actually on trail, like actual just trail running for like a mile and a half. And that was like awesome. I loved it. I was like, oh, I should have brought like my trail shoes. But then of course it's only like a mile and a half. Why would I bring trail shoes, for a 6.6 mile if I'm only doing like a mile and a half on the trail? So anyways, so yeah, I had fun on that first leg. I mean, it was definitely different than what I expected. I was going into it thinking like, there's a hill like at mile 3.5 until four, like no big deal. But then you see it and you're like, oh yeah, that's no joke. So, felt good kind of getting it done. So, okay. I just want to talk about my leg a little bit. So I don't know if you want to continue.
So my van, we checked in just before noon. You have to go through safety training where they kind of remind you about the vest. Same thing you went through at the start. The only thing interesting about mine was the lady who was doing the safety training, she actually asked, like, who's doing their very first Ragnar?
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually really shocked to see that basically everybody besides my van raised their hands.
Really?
So, like, everybody in our little safety briefing had never done Ragnar before.
Wow.
So I thought that was really crazy because normally it's like a pretty good mix, or it always seemed in the past to be like people who have done Ragnar before.
Right.
So lots of new blood, I guess, at this one, which is good.
Yeah, that's interesting because when we did our safety training, I would say maybe about 50-50.
Really?
In terms of people who had done a Ragnar before and people who were doing the very first one.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe even like 60-40 more towards people who had already done a Ragnar before. So
that's more what I would expect.
Yeah.
So, and not that our little briefing was representative at all. It was
kind of a
random sampling, but I thought that because our van was kind of like, whoa, you know, this was really surprising. But yeah, so we did the safety briefing. They did shirts a little bit differently. Normally, the captain would kind of pick up shirts for the entire team. And at this race, kind of everybody picked up their own shirts at the race. So for your van, at the start, you guys each got your individual shirts. And then we did the same thing before we started at Exchange 6. And it was actually much easier, I think.
Yeah, I like this a lot better instead of when you check in initially getting everybody's shirts.
Yeah, because it always used to be you get a big bag and, you know, we'd have to like hand them out to every person and you're going through sizes. And this one's kind of like, take care of your own stuff and just go get it. And it's just easier. It was funny because we were talking earlier, I guess at the start, they were very strict on like checking off names and sizes and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And when I grabbed shirts for our van and stuff, they were just kind of like, grab whatever you wanted. There was no checklist. There was no names. There was just...
whatever size you said, that's what you got.
That was basically it.
Interesting.
So, which made it super easy. Not super organized, but super easy, I guess.
Yeah.
So...
I mean, I was able to exchange my shirt, but I couldn't exchange it until the finish.
Right.
So I wasn't able to exchange it right then.
Yeah, they traditionally have shirt exchange at the finish with whatever they have left.
Right, which wasn't a problem when I was there. Mm. They still had the size that I needed, but I think if you hadn't gotten your shirt and it wasn't fitting correctly, you would have been able to change it right then and there, right?
Yeah, they were letting us try them on and switch it out and just ask for whatever we wanted. And I guess I realized afterwards that I guess people could have taken advantage and just gotten multiple shirts and there was no way to, you know, keep track of it. And that would have been a bummer if people had done that, but... So, anything else before? No.
Before what?
Before my van started running. No.
No.
So, our first runner, you know, took off the bracelet, or got the bracelet, started his run, and we all hopped in the van, talked to you guys for a little bit, hopped in the van, took off out of the parking lot, immediately went the wrong way, got lost, like 2 seconds. So, bad navigating coming out of the exchange.
Right out the gate,
which was kind of funny, because I think we seem to always do that.
Really?
So, I think so.
Like right away?
Yeah, I remember in years past, after you crossed the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah.
Like the very next leg after that, we would always like take the wrong turn and head off in the wrong direction.
But it's, you're coming out of a parking lot.
You could only
head like...
We have a very talented group of navigators who will lead us in the wrong direction.
Uh-huh.
So I guess we take a little time to get warmed up and knowing what we're doing.
Got
it. Yeah, we kind of ended up the hill and spent 10 minutes kind of driving around and coming back and finally got back on track. Met our runner, no problem. But... yeah, so we continued heading off. My run, I started off with a 4.4 miler, I think, and went pretty well. Was it 4.4?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're looking at me like I'm crazy.
No. I was just listening.
was a 4.4 miler, went pretty well, felt pretty good, ran it much faster than I guess I had expected or had predicted in my pace file.
Were you purposely trying to do that or just worked out that way?
No, I definitely wanted to, you know, run it as fast as I could. I figured I wasn't going to feel any better than I did on the first run. So that was kind of like my run to kind of go out and kind of crush it, which I kind of did, at least in my own book. So I was super happy with that. And it was actually a pretty nice, beautiful run through some random countryside. I have no idea where I actually ran.
But I was going to say, so at this point, you're probably, because I'm trying to think back to when I did Van 2 the last 2 years, you're probably somewhat close to like San Rafael area. Not in San Rafael, but that area.
No idea.
Okay.
It was a nice area though.
Yeah.
It was actually the exchange where I started was a golf course, which is really weird because, you know, we're sitting there at an exchange and you got runners coming in and coming out and like the golf course is literally right there. There's like a chipping area with some guys, you know, practicing their game. And I'm like, wow, that's got to be really distracting for them. But
yeah, I've actually run that same league before. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it actually starts straight uphill.
Right.
And then after that, it was kind of rolling hills, but that was kind of okay. So my van, we went through our runs, no problems. We passed it off back to you at around dinner time, 6 p.m., 7
yeah,
p.m.?
Yeah, around 6 p.m. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Yeah, I think it was like 6 p.m.
Okay.
Yeah, so then we took over, and we were, I believe, in Petaluma at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to think. So evening runs. So I think nighttime hours were officially 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 a.m. So at that point, the person, everybody that's out of the van has to have the reflective vest on, mm-hmm. whether you're running or not. And then the runner has to have either a flashlight or headlamp. Most people do headlamps. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've seen a single person actually out there with a flashlight.
I've seen flashlights in addition to headlamps, but
not instead
everybody
of.
Actually has a headlamp.
And then you have to have the red tail light.
Right.
Yeah,
which everybody refers to as butt lights.
Right. Even though nobody wears it on their butt, really.
No. The most common place
like
is
on the back of your head.
Yeah. On your hat or on the back of your...
like headband or something.
The strap for your headlamp.
It fits
very nicely, just kind of hooking on there. So that's what most people do.
Yeah. So I think our first runner didn't have to wear it yet, but our second runner had to wear all the reflective stuff. So, went through all of our legs and our exchanges, no problem. It was more kind of, countryside running.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time I got to run again, it was like around 10 p.m.
Okay.
And I'm not really sure where exactly we were at that point, because once it starts getting dark and you don't really know like where exactly you are, it was like just a main, most of my run was like just on this main long road. Mm-hmm. So I don't know exactly where it was. I couldn't even tell you. I couldn't even like pick it out on a map or anything like that.
Yeah. You usually only tend to pay attention to the addresses or the cities of major exchanges.
Right. And not the ones in between.
Yeah. You're just following like directions like in the magazine that they give you that has all the information, like, turn left here, right here,
right
there. But you really don't have to pay attention to what city you're in.
Right.
So that's why for us, a lot of this is just like a blur.
Yeah.
Like we can just name cities that were like every six exchanges and that's it.
Right. And that's pretty much it. Nothing in between. But so the runner before me, because I was runner five. So the runner before me, when he was out there, it actually started drizzling a little bit. And mm-hmm. we knew that rain was in the forecast, but we were hoping that it was just going to be like, light showers, nothing major. So it actually started sprinkling when he was out there. Then I started running and it was still sprinkling, got a little bit heavier. And this was a 9.2 miler for me. And it actually started raining when I was out there.
Mm-hmm.
So like, that's what you had mentioned earlier, kind of like CIM flashback.
Yep.
So, but not anything close to.
No, it wasn't a storm. It was just rain.
Yeah. And so it wasn't too bad, and I wasn't cold at all. It wasn't windy. But I'm like, okay, well, this will be the rain here, and then, we'll be good to go, right? That's what mm-hmm. I'm thinking. Like, we'll be fine. It'll rain right now, like just overnight, and then tomorrow we'll be good because that'll be Saturday when we're doing our last legs. It won't be bad. But did my 9-miler. I was doing pretty good until probably mile four and a half. Then my stomach kind of started hurting. Mm-hmm. I was having some cramping, and I was like, oh no, this isn't like a traditional race where they have porta potties or, that sort of thing. I'm like, all right, well, just got to do what you got to do. So just was hoping that, wouldn't act up too much, but was able to, finish my run and hand off to the next person. By that time it was still raining. So our sixth runner, so in our van, our last runner actually ran through the rain too, before we handed off to you guys, probably at, I'm trying to think like around midnight, right?
Right.
Yeah. So then you guys, while we were on at that point, you guys were trying to sleep. Yeah, I don't know if you want to talk about that at all.
Well, let me ask, were you sleepy during your run at all? Were you tired going into it? Because like 10 p.m., that's definitely an oddball time for running for you.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Probably a little bit tired, but I think it was more the fact that I had been up for so long.
So early.
Because it was an early start. So I had been up for so long. I think that's what made me more tired, because I think even in the years past where I ran like 3 in the morning, mm-hmm. I was more tired then than I was this time. Like it felt a little bit more normal this time, even though it was still 10 p.m. So I didn't feel that sleepy.
Okay. I was just curious.
Yeah.
Yeah. So while your van was doing that running, my van, we kind of finished off at 6 when we gave it to you. And we already had the pre-planned dinner, although we took a vote on where we were going to eat. And we had planned on going to pizza and we voted and it still ended up being pizza. So we went
Why'd you guys vote if you already planned on having pizza?
Well, somebody threw in the idea of going to Chipotle. Or Chipotle. I like to say Chipotle. But so I think two people want to go to Chipotle and the other one was pizza.
Okay.
And so I don't care. Let's just vote for it. I really didn't care either way. I was actually trying to figure out how to get pizza that day and Chipotle the next day.
Got
that would actually have been a perfect weekend for me. But yeah, but, so we
that's
just,
funny because we had Chipotle for lunch that day. So that was funny. But anyways.
And we've actually had Chipotle at Ragnar and SoCal. So weird. Kind of the same thing.
I know it's weird. But anyways.
I think it's because people always have like the foods that like seem to work for them while in the middle of running. And you wouldn't think maybe pizza and Chipotle work out, but it kind of does for I guess all of us.
Although I don't know, something didn't work out for me before that run, so it could have been that. It could have been like the hot chocolate that I had that I didn't think had milk in it, but did. And that's I don't drink milk, so it was probably that. But anyways, okay, back to your van.
Yeah, so you know, we decided on the pizza. We went for pizza. We knew exactly where to go because it's like 5 minutes from the exchange, and we ate there last year, so like it was kind of old hat. The only thing was it took a long time to get the food. So
was
I guess it was
it
like,
busy?
Well, I guess it was Friday night, dinner time. I mean, I don't know if we mentioned Ragnar is always Friday to Saturday.
Yeah.
So we're talking right now about Friday night.
Or what we call Friday.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think the script that we made was we actually should have just called and ordered the pizza in advance. That would actually save like 30 minutes.
Makes sense.
But we didn't. But went, had the pizza. It was like awesome filling up because we hadn't eaten. I hadn't eaten since breakfast, which I had like at 6 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, all I had was like kind of like snacks and stuff like that. So. Had our pizza, then we hopped in the van, went out to what would be the exchange where we would start running again. So we got there, volunteers were out there directing vans on where to park. Said, you want to shower or sleep? I said both, although none of us were really planning on showering. Mm-hmm. So parked the van, four of us decided to go sleep outside. So I went to ask a volunteer actually if there was any indoor sleeping, which there wasn't at that exchange anyways. I probably wouldn't have gone for the indoor sleeping anyways. But I thought I'd just ask. So the four of us went out. We had to go around some buildings. I think this was like a community center or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they did have the showers. I think it was like a $2 donation or something like that. But we were all more interested in getting some sleep while we could. So we went out to the field, threw our sleeping bags out on the ground, jumped in them, tried to get some sleep. I have a really hard time going to sleep all the time anyways. So I was kind of tossing and turning for a little bit. And then I think maybe after an hour, I just was like starting to really get into sleep there.
Mm-hmm.
And we started feeling the sprinkles.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's the same time we're out there. Right.
Yeah. So this is why you're starting that too. So we start getting the sprinkles and you're kind of like, huh? Like what? You know, in our defense, the weather was kind of calling for 10 to 30% chance of rain, but more on Saturday.
Yeah.
So I even said like going into the race, like I could care less if it rains as long as it rains after midnight on Friday.
Because I knew sleep.
Because I knew that's when we would be finishing our sleep and then being back out on the run. And I really didn't care if it rained while we ran. But
Yeah, I think CIM changed all that for us because I didn't really care when I was out there either.
Right. It doesn't really bother us at all. But yeah, so we're out there with the sprinkling and everybody just kind of like perked up for a little bit and kind of looked around. And I was checking the top of my sleeping bag. I'm like, oh yeah, it's definitely sprinkling. So we all just kind of put the sleeping bags over our head and, you know, was just going to deal with it. You know, it's like, oh, a little drizzle, no big deal. And then about a minute later, it just starts pouring like crazy to the point where there was no chance of hiding out in your sleeping bag and getting through it. So immediately, you know, out on this field at this community center must have been, I don't know how many people were sleeping out there, 70 people, 80 people, 90 people, something like that.
That's a good number of people.
Everybody in the in probably within 3 minutes is like packing up their sleeping bags and heading back to their vans.
Because there's nowhere to really go indoors.
There's no indoors. There was no place that had like canopies or overhangs off the building or anything that I saw.
Oh,
so even the stuff up against the building wasn't really going to help you. I think there might have been a couple little spots, but those were kind of taken already.
Yeah.
So it was basically just grab your stuff and run back to the van. And got into the van and we actually woke up the two teammates we had in there. They're like, what's going on? We're like, oh, it's pouring rain. So we're stuck in the van with you guys. So we just kind of sat in the van. And I didn't really get any sleep after that because it was just too uncomfortable being in the van, especially with six people. And it actually stopped raining pretty quick. Unfortunately, all your stuff is wet.
Yeah.
The grass is all wet.
It's so kind of like damage has been done.
Yeah. So it wasn't like we could go back outside and get some sleep. So unfortunately, I probably didn't even get an hour sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then midnight rolled around and it was our turn to kind of get back out there and run.
Was it difficult to try to get sleep? Because it was earlier than when you would normally sleep, you know, because you guys are going to have to take over again, like around midnight. So you'd be trying to sleep, I don't know, like what, 8 p.m. or something?
Yes. It was 8, 9, something around there.
So was that a little bit of a factor too, that you're trying to sleep way earlier than what you would normally do? Or not so much?
In reality, it wasn't. We kept joking that it was.
Yeah.
We're like, this is so weird. We're like trying to go to sleep at 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, none of us would ever go to sleep at 8:30 or 9 o'clock on a Friday night.
Unless it's before a Disney race. No, I'm just kidding.
That's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just felt a little bit weird, but I think, you know, we were all kind of tired enough and like I said, I just normally have a hard time falling asleep, so
wasn't really any more difficult, just difficult, period.
I mean, it was definitely pitch black, so I mean, that wasn't an issue at all. So
yeah,
it was just a super huge bummer getting rained on. Yeah, so, I mean, it's weird because last week I said, you know, oh, I don't think there's any problem getting sleep at a Ragnar. I'm like, I think everybody can always get like 4 hours. And I'm like, oh, that's biting me in the butt because I guess I just never planned on rain.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is I also said last week, like, don't bring a tent.
Yeah, that's right.
So the funny thing, there was actually 2 tents out on the field, and I'm assuming they were just happy as can be in their tent, staying dry and having no problems. And had I had a tent, it would have been perfect. I actually could have got some sleep. But yeah, you live and learn, I guess, be a little bit more prepared for the rain.
Yeah.
Because we definitely were not. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I just needed the rain to hold off till midnight.
Right, because it was fine if it was raining while you were running.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so around midnight, I think we had the handoff again.
Uh-huh.
My team was back on running. You guys were off?
Off of running.
Yes.
Yeah, so then we went to sleep.
Which is...
So we had, you know, lots of different things with this Ragnar. You know, we switched vans, you know, weather was different. And then one of the other things actually that my van did that was completely different than what we've done before is one of our teammates or van mates actually had booked a couple of hotel rooms for us.
Mm-hmm.
So in a kind of a, I guess, pretty central location to where we would be around that time. So it wasn't like really out of the way. So we handed off to you guys around midnight. We actually drove back to the hotel, which wasn't that far away, maybe like 20 minutes away. Mm-hmm. Actually got to take showers, you know, put on dry, clean clothes. And actually had beds to sleep in. So
and was able to get some sleep.
Yeah. I mean, we probably ended up getting maybe about 3.5 hours of sleep around that time. You know, by the time like everybody kind of went through showers, because you can't really sleep when somebody else is like showering. You know, there's a lot of commotion going on. Or I guess maybe if you're a really heavy sleeper, you can. But I think probably we got maybe about 3.5 hours of sleep or 3 hours, 45 minutes of sleep. And that was really nice.
I'm sure.
And the most important thing that we talked about was we were out of the rain. Because it was still raining at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So had we not had that, we don't know what the sleeping situation would have been like wherever we would have gone. Would we just be sitting in? And we didn't have a van. We had an SUV, which was even a little bit less room there.
Right.
Would we have just been sitting there, you know, like kind of what you guys did, not getting any sleep, just sitting there until it's, you know, time for us to run again. So that actually worked out really well for us.
Yeah, it was kind of a tale of two different experiences. My van kind of getting rained on in the middle of the night and no place to sleep except crammed in the car. And you guys doing the luxury hotel experience, staying out of the rain.
Yep.
So, yeah, no, you guys lucked out.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, it was definitely different. You know, I didn't really know what to expect with kind of having a hotel for just, you know, I mean, you can't really be there all day. You know, you got to run, but having that to sleep, yeah, it was definitely a different experience, and it actually worked out really well.
Now, did you feel like you were missing out on the Ragnar experience by being in a hotel?
I think probably a little bit, just like all the craziness that are at like major exchanges and everything. But I think weighing that with the fact that it was probably raining and would I have had to be outside in the rain trying to sleep versus just being inside the SUV, I think it worked out in our favor this time. But it did feel had a little of that. What's it called? FOMO? Kind of fear of missing out.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was like, what?
You're like, what did you get? Yeah, it did feel a little bit like we were kind of out of touch a little bit with the race. But actually, I don't think I mentioned it to you. The particular hotel that we were staying at, there's actually, I think, 2 or 3 other teams that we saw.
Oh, okay.
Actually go in there at some point. So I don't know if maybe, I was thinking maybe there were teams that were from maybe out of state or something like that. And then that's the hotel that they stayed at the night before and the night after. And so they actually had access to that night. That's what I'm thinking. Or they could have done the same thing we did. I don't know.
I mean, there's always a few teams at Ragnar that will do the hotel thing. So it's not completely out of the norm. I would say most teams don't do it.
Right.
I think Napa Valley, actually, the course, the way it's laid out, actually lends itself to a hotel.
Because it kind of double backs on itself.
Right.
Yeah.
So you can actually, you know, drive 20 minutes to the hotel and then it's only a 20-minute drive to your next running location. Whereas on some Ragnars, depending on the route, you know, you might have to drive 20 minutes to the hotel, but then it's going to be 50 minutes to get to where you're going because it's so far away.
And then you have to factor in that time that you're losing. Yes. As like sleep time, potentially. Right. Yeah. Okay. So, well, we were sleeping. You guys were out running.
Yes, we're out running. You know, we have that awesome running time of basically midnight till 5 o'clock in the morning.
Right. Which we've had 2 years in a row now. Just throwing that out there.
Correct. Okay. No, I'm not, you know, I'd say I'm not complaining, but I'll whine a little bit. It's really tough being awake at 2:30 in the morning running this thing. And I think, as is pretty common with Ragnar, you know, if you're running that midnight to 5 a.m. thing, your entire team is not awake. Like, there's always people kind of crashed out in the car at one point or another.
Right.
At least it is with us. So I think we always probably had three people awake and three people kind of just trying to, like, get some random few minutes mixed in. But I was back out there, I think, around 2:30 in the morning for a 3-miler.
Okay.
Was definitely raining when I went out to do my run. So it was actually super cold when you're kind of going out there waiting for your runner to come in. Just kind of standing around. It was, like, super cold. That's when I had that guy from, like, across the street come ask us what a Ragnar was. But waited for my runner to come in, went out, did my 3-miler. Again, did it pretty fast. Was pretty happy with my pace.
Mm-hmm.
Actually slower than, I think, what I ran the 4-mile earlier.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Knee definitely started hurting more than it did earlier in the day, but that wasn't a surprise. But got through the run, was kind of, I don't know, not much to say about the run, you know? It's like running through some, interesting enough, random city. I have no idea what city I ran through, again.
Right.
Didn't pay attention at all.
Yeah.
But no issues getting lost. Didn't actually see, during my night run, it wasn't too crowded. So I actually didn't see too many fellow other Ragnar runners out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of spread pretty thin at that time. And got my 3-miler done, and that was kind of it.
Okay.
I did get about probably an hour after that. I did sleep for probably maybe 45 minutes.
That's good. That's still something. So, I mean, it's not much at all.
Yeah, we had one of our runners went out to do a 9-point something.
Uh-huh.
And I think I fell asleep when he went out. And all of a sudden I woke up and I'm like looking out the window and all I see is like picket fence from my house. And I was like, where in the world are we, right? I'm like, what's going on? What happened? What time is it? And they told me, like, oh, we're stopping midway to give them some water or whatever. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, kind of had to, like, get my senses about me.
Like, what's happening?
What's going on?
Yeah.
And, actually, when that runner finished his 9-miler and he got back to the van, we had somebody else who was sleeping. And he was like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm done. He's like, you ran already? Like, he completely missed, like, that runner
the
being out
entire
for, like, 9 miles, which would have been, for certain, over an hour. I don't know if he was out there for an hour.
Well, definitely 20. An hour and a half, at least.
Oh,
9-miler?
It was pretty fast. Yeah, probably almost an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So I guess he apparently got a nice hour and a half sleep because he was totally oblivious to the fact that this runner even went out there. So,
yeah. Which makes me think of, I think most of my van got some sleep when I was out there for my 9-miler.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I didn't see them. They didn't stop and say hi. I mean, you know, they checked to make sure that I had my own water and everything, so I didn't need anything. But, I didn't see anything. They just went straight to the next exchange, and I think they got some sleep because I think I was doing the longest run at nighttime.
Yeah.
The person before me and then myself were kind of doing the long one. So I think you kind of can kind of bunch them together and get some sleep then too.
Yeah. It's when you have a runner out there doing, you know, almost 10 miles and they're going to be out there for an hour and a half. And if you decide you're only going to check on them one time, you know, that basically gives you 45 minutes of downtime. So
right.
A good chance to kind of go park somewhere and just kind of nod off.
Exactly.
And hopefully you don't miss your runner.
Right. That's
so,
a good point.
I mean, we always made sure that we at least had, it always seemed to be at least three people awake.
Good.
So the person out
probably
running
the
and then the next person running and then one person to kind of keep tabs of what's going on.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
Although it's kind of funny. We never said that as a plan. It just kind of naturally happens.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like assign like, oh, you're going to do this and you're going to stay awake. It just kind of happens.
Yeah.
Which is weird. It just kind of takes care of itself. So.
Right. It just works itself out.
Yeah. So we ran till like 5 something in the morning. I think we handed off back to you guys, right?
Yeah. I think around 6.
6 in the morning.
Yeah.
We immediately went to go eat breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
So we went out to Black Bear Diner. I think that's a California thing. It was actually started near Mount Shasta.
Yeah, that's right.
So that was kind of a predetermined spot. Same thing. We
did
ate there last
vote?
Year. No, that was kind of like automatic. We didn't even talk about it. The only thing we had to do decide was like which one to go to.
Okay.
Because there was kind of two in the area. So we did that. We went to breakfast. You guys started running at 6:00. How did your 6 a.m. start go?
Fine. I mean, it wasn't raining at this point. It was still like overcast, but it wasn't raining by any means. So that was kind of nice. We're like, yay, you know, rain's over, you know, like it'll be good for the rest of the day, the finish, all of that. And, you know, we just had to like, you know, as soon as our runner took off, I think she was doing like a 2-miler. So we had to take off real quick, you know, cause you know, we want to make sure she doesn't beat us there. And she almost did, but got there just in time, you know, the next runner was already ready, you know, to go. So we still had to wear, you know, the vest at that point. So for our first two runners again. So our, you know, our runners, you know, took off, no rain. Our first two runners went, no rain at all, still overcast. And then when our fourth runner, so the person right before me was out there, he got the slap bracelet from the person before him and he took like a couple of steps and then it was like downpour. like just like out of the nowhere. Yeah. Like I was like, you know, I was getting ready to go because I was after him and I had like a tank top, you know, shorts. I'm like, oh yeah, you know, like sun's coming out a little bit. It's warming up just a little bit. You know, let me make sure I don't get hot on my run. And it was just like total downpour when he was out there. I'm like, okay. I'm like, well, maybe it won't be so bad, you know, by the time I go, you know, maybe it'll clear up by the time I get out there. So, so he got to run in the rain. Like, you know, he's the one that was running when it was like drizzling, you know, the last time. So, but this time it was like rain, and it wasn't letting up. You know, I got my stuff ready. And like you said, it was kind of tough just the waiting, you mm-hmm. know, at the exchange, like for him to hand off to me. Cause it's, I mean, you're just standing there.
Yeah. Just standing, you know, in the rain.
So thankfully there was, there's a big tree somewhat close by. And there was a few of us kind of just hunched underneath, you know, to protect ourselves a little bit. And I had like my hooded sweatshirt that I was just going to hand off to one of my van mates, you know, before I took off. He came through and it was pouring still. So I took off for my, I think it was my shortest leg. I'm trying to remember how many miles. 4.9 miles. So it was my shortest one. Rained the entire time, like poured. But it wasn't cold, I guess, because I was running. It wasn't windy. It was actually quite enjoyable. I know it sounds crazy, you know, like running in the rain, but mm-hmm. it was actually pretty peaceful because people weren't out, like out and about. There wasn't tons of people like out there, like with, I don't know, dogs or I don't know, whatever. I'm just trying to pick like random stuff. You know, it wasn't like busy, you know, because people right. were kind of staying away because it was raining. So it was just us crazy Ragnar people that were out there, you know, running. And a good chunk of that run for me was actually in a park. So, okay, you know, normally, nice. You know, yeah, so I was kind of looking around and I'm like, oh, this would be a really nice park. This is where you would normally see people like, you know, doing, you know, having a barbecue, mm-hmm. playing with their kids, but there's like nobody out there at all. So it was pretty peaceful. Could have used a few more signs. You know, Ragnar does have a lot of signs, like every time you have to turn. Could have used a couple more on that leg, but, you know, it didn't get lost, made it out okay. And then I handed off to our last runner for our van and still pouring rain. So she ran in the pouring rain again. So the three of us actually, I guess runner 4, 5, and 6 got to run in either some sort of like drizzle, light rain or full on
downpour,
you right. know, twice. So that was definitely different than the years past where normally we're running like in like blazing sun.
Yeah, the heat's always been the issue in past
right.
Napas, but this was very different.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess if I had to pick what I was running in, I'd rather run in the rain.
Right.
Than the sun that I was running in the last two times. But before the run, it's kind of tough, you know, when it's raining. And then afterwards, because as soon as I was done, I was like soaked, right. drenched. You know, but we got to drive to like the next place to pick up our next person. So it was a little while before I could even change. So kind of, you know, just miserable sitting in the wet clothes. But the run itself was really enjoyable. So let's see. We finished that like noon?
Yeah, some
or like 11:30 or
yeah.
something. Okay.
And then while you were finishing up those runs, we had, you know, we went to do our breakfast thing and then we went just to the next exchange. And I think when we got there, it wasn't raining yet. So this is during your first three runners.
Okay.
And we got there. And it was funny because I remember I looked at the porta potty line. And it was like a huge long line. And then all of a sudden it started to, and there was people out on the field sleeping again.
Yeah.
And resting. All of a sudden, downpour again.
Again.
And that field, that this is a different exchange, that
right.
field clears immediately. The great thing is the porta potty line somehow disappeared. Apparently, nobody had to go to the bathroom so bad that they wanted to stand in the rain.
Everybody can hold it for longer, I guess.
So everybody just disappeared and, you know, everybody just kind of ran into their vans. And, you know, we were kind of hunkered in the van and we kind of just had to sit in the van for like 2 hours, whatever
yeah,
it was,
waiting for
two
us.
Hours, 2.5 hours waiting for you guys, which that was pretty boring, to be honest. You know,
yeah.
everybody's kind of like tired. You know, we didn't sleep. We just ate. So you're like on a full, overeat full stomach. So you're just kind of in the van, just kind of vegging out and, you know, maybe trying to getting a little bit of shut eye, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Although I didn't really get to sleep that well. But
Although I think based on our previous calculations, we had thought that you guys were probably going to have a little bit more time off during that time
mm-hmm.
than you actually did.
Yeah.
Just because of the way that the pace calculator had worked out the file. So
yeah,
you guys actually had even less time than what we had planned on.
Right. Because you guys had actually offered to give us the hotel room.
Right. That morning.
That way we could go in the morning and just like at least shower off.
Yeah.
And the problem was when we looked at how much time we would have, we only had about 4 hours because your runs were all pretty short.
Yeah.
And you guys run pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, well, 4 hours. I'm like, we need to eat. I'm like, we're going to still have to drive like 20 minutes to the hotel, 20 minutes back. I'm like, we didn't want to like waste time doing that.
Yeah.
So we passed on the hotel. Had I known it was just going to be pouring rain the whole time,
probably would have gone.
In retrospect, I probably would have just gone to the hotel because at least we could have showered.
Right. That's
versus
true.
Just kind of sitting in the van, mm-hmm. staring out the window and that's it.
Or at least kind of spread out in the hotel room a little bit versus just in the seats in a van.
Yeah, because, I mean, one part that's tough with Ragnar is you're going out, you're doing all these runs, and then you're just kind of sitting in a cramped van. So it's kind of tough on the legs, at least for me. You just kind of stiffen up sitting in there. But yeah, so we took over, like you said, before.
Like just before noon.
Before noon.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what time, but it was, I don't know, like 11:30, 11:45, something like that. Yeah, and so we went to go eat at that point.
And you guys went to the same place we did?
We went to Black Bear Diner. Yeah, so, you know, had breakfast there. Yeah, and actually ended up changing there, you know, because I needed to change at some point because my clothes was just like soaked. So it felt so good to get some warm food in the belly, you know, and get some like dry clothes on, even if you're not like super clean. Although I didn't feel that dirty because I got rained on. I'm like, oh, my sweat got washed away, right? So I'm good. Like I just kind of took a shower out there, right?
Should have taken some soap on the run and
cleaned up a little bit. Some shampoo would have been good to go. So yeah, so we went to go eat while you guys were running.
Yeah, so we were back out there running, and I guess when it came time for my run, I had my longest run, which was going to be an 8-miler, and I told my team, I said, you know, I'm going to fade hard at the end of this thing. I just knew it.
Yeah.
So the whole run was kind of a slight incline up, but then at the end it got really hilly. So seeing that in advance, I told my team, you know, hey, my pace is going to definitely fade at the end, which I went out there, obviously the most painful of all three runs for my knee, you know, because it was last, you know, no sleep. Probably should have drank more and ate more the whole weekend, but I always make that mistake at Ragnar. At this point, it's not even a mistake. It just kind of seems to be my routine, I guess. And
that's just you at Ragnar.
Yeah, that's just how I am.
That's probably a lot of people, actually.
Oh, I think so. Yeah. One of my teammates is kind of the same thing on Friday. He didn't really eat enough and kind of was kind of bonking. And I kind of bonked a little bit on the 8-miler. I took 2 goos with me and definitely had both of those and wish I had a third goo. And
that's interesting because you wouldn't normally have 3 goos on an 8-miler, would you?
No way.
I mean, you'd have 3 I would never like have on two. A half, maybe?
Yeah, I would never have 2 goo.
Yeah.
2 goo on a...
Yeah, that sounded weird.
Yeah. I would never have 2 goos on an 8-miler, but I think that was just a sign I didn't have enough to eat. So
yeah,
between being tired and kind of bonking a little bit and, you know, the knee and started to really get painful as it went on. So I definitely slowed from mile 1 to mile 8, but I definitely got it done. I know I walked a lot towards the end of it, especially at the hilly parts because that was tough to run. But I was like on full on, when I was walking like full, as fast as I could walk. Like I was walking, but I was power walking up those hills. So, it was kind of a bummer.
Good.
A lot of people passed me.
Oh yeah.
At that stage, which is kind of a bummer, but a lot of people are really awesome about it. You know, they say hi, they give you a high five. A lot of support out there.
Yeah. Good job. Keep it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's always at least a couple of people that depress you when they fly by you doing like 5-minute miles up a hill, but you're like, oh, whatever. You know, good for you, but, it's always funny. So I did finish the 8-miler, slower than kind of what I wanted to do. But what I expected, so not a big letdown there. Let's see, my whole team. Yeah, we just kind of, everybody finished off their last runs. We actually did switch some runners up. For the last one, so we kind of moved people around based on who was kind of hurting and who wasn't hurting. Just kind of make it a little bit easier. And met you guys at the finish. So you guys did breakfast, and then you guys just went to the finish line, right?
Yeah, we did breakfast, and then we went to the finish line. It was funny because one of the roads that we took to get to the finish line, which I think we actually went a different way than what we've done in the past. Well, I guess in the past we were like running up to the finish line, right? But still, it doesn't seem like it's the most direct way to get there. And there actually had been like a downed tree or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You guys had said that and I never actually asked.
We were like held up. We're like, oh my gosh, we're like, this is like a 2-lane road. Like, are we going to be here for, you know, you just like don't
hours.
Know. Yeah. We just don't know in the moment. Like, you know, you're thinking worst case scenario, like, should we turn around? So, but no, there was people out there basically just, you know, sawing the tree and, you know, getting it out of the way and stuff. So, I mean, we were stopped maybe for like 10 minutes at the most. But yeah, made our way over to the finish line and just kind of we're keeping track of where you guys were in terms of where we thought, when to expect you basically for the finish line. So that, you know, obviously we didn't miss the runner 12 coming through because we all run into the finish line together. So, yeah.
Yeah, so we met you guys at the finish line as a Ragnar tradition. And, you know, the 11 of us that weren't running, we, you know, you go out like a couple hundred feet before the finish line, you kind of wait for your final teammate to come in and you, as a team, run through the finish line together, which is always fun. You know, they call your team name out and there's always tons of people out there and cheering and everybody, you know, we had team shirts.
Yeah.
Like a lot of teams do, kind of Ragnar tradition. Although less teams this year had team shirts.
Team shirts, yeah. I agree.
But yeah, we crossed the finish line and...
You know, the funny thing about running in with your teammate is like that teammate, that 12th runner, is always like... you know, like in their groove in terms of running.
Yes.
But they always like want to like just run right past everybody, and you know, and everybody, all the other teammates are like, slow down, you know, because we're all like, you know, everybody else is stiff. Uh-huh. And this is for all the team. This isn't just us. So it's just funny because you see like that 12th runner coming through like just like full speed through the finish line, like any one of us would be. But then the other teammates are like, wait, you know, slow down. So it's kind of funny.
Yeah, that was one of the most hilarious things I've ever seen, because before we finished and we're just sitting there waiting, it was like team after team where the last runner would come in just like full bore, and everybody's like, slow down, wait up. And it was like, it was like a whole bunch of teams.
It's
like
pretty
that.
Funny.
But the last runner just, I guess, wants to just get done with it.
Right.
And it's always funny because you see the 12 people cross the finish line, and it's kind of like 11 people looking pretty good. And one person like sweating like crazy and tired and like jamming through the finish line.
Right.
So a big disparity between that last runner and the other people that kind of had a chance to relax. And,
right.
you know, obviously somebody's been done. Some of the people have been done for hours.
Yeah.
You know, if you're like that other van, you've kind of been done for 8 hours, probably 9 hours maybe. No, wait. Yeah,
well, I don't know. Let's see. Yeah. Because let's see. Our first runner ran like at 6 a.m. Right. Or 6:30 a.m.
And that was their last run.
That was their last run.
Yeah.
So, so they'd been done for hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, our last runner actually slowed down for us. So.
Yeah. Actually came in a little bit. Yeah, actually did.
Yeah.
And actually ran a little slower pace than we thought coming into the finish line. We actually finished around 4 p.m.
Yeah.
Like literally like 4:02, 4:03.
Yeah.
Because we were like, oh, we're going to finish at 3 something. And then we missed that by like 3 minutes. So that was kind of a funny bummer. Not that we really cared or made any difference at all. But went through the finish line. They give you your medals. Then they bring you over to a backdrop where they take some official picture that I'm assuming we can buy later.
Yeah.
And then they had another backdrop on the backside where you can like sign it.
Yeah.
Everybody would like sign their name or their team name. Although I don't know what they do with that.
I don't know. I'm sure they display it somewhere.
Yeah.
But basically for finishers.
And then each team, when they finish, they get 2 pizzas.
Uh-huh.
I think I mentioned, I didn't know if they were doing pizzas again.
Yeah, I think you did.
But they did do 2 free pizzas. They also had a beer garden over there that you could buy.
They didn't do the free beer this time.
No.
Which they've done, I think, the last 2 years, right?
Yeah, it was kind of weird. Like, I'd seen in the past, like, at Ragnar, you get a free beer, and this time you got $1 off coupon.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of that's a big change.
Yeah.
There, if you were expecting a free beer at the finish line. And they had some sponsor tents around there, so you can try some samples of some food, I guess. Was Noon there at the finish? I don't even
Noon
remember.
Noon was there.
Had to be there.
Monster.
Yeah. So some of
that
stuff.
A couple of other things.
So we just kind of hung out with the team and kind of reminisced about the race, took a bunch of pictures, and is that it?
When did it stop raining for you guys? Because it was raining when we handed off to you. Do you remember when it stopped raining?
It for sure rained. You know, when I was out on my 8-miler, I think it stopped raining about mile 7.
Okay.
And I just don't remember if the people after me got rain or not.
Okay.
Because I know for my run, I mean, I didn't mention it, but it rained for a good 7 miles.
Yeah.
And
not
it
really
rained,
a big deal, though. Huh?
And it rained pretty hard for those 7 miles, which I didn't really mind. It was kind of a bummer at the beginning where I took over. It was like super muddy. It was like side of a road. I was actually right near the vineyards there, but it was kind of side of the road, super muddy. So it was kind of one little spot. Basically, everybody just had to like walk. Step through. Otherwise, you were just going to sink in the mud there. So that was kind of weird. But actually, I didn't mention it. My 8-mile run was actually very scenic. It's over there, right down there in Napa.
Was that on Silverado Trail?
Yes.
Okay.
So kind of nice, beautiful scenery. Actually took advantage of when I did walk. I was definitely looking around and kind of taking in the views.
Yeah, enjoying it.
Yeah, I didn't take any pictures, which I should have, but I actually liked that quite a bit. Actually, most of my runs were actually kind of scenic, except for my 2:30 in the morning, which was kind of random.
Dark?
Well... It was dark, but it was like random city, so there was like nothing really to look at anyway. So, yeah, so that was kind of the finish, and that was kind of it, right?
Yeah, I was just thinking because of the rain. I know, you know, it. I don't know what time it stopped for us. Sometimes when we were at some point when we were having breakfast, it stopped, and then we know we're at the finish line. Had some time to kill. We were checking out the merchandise tent, which you know they sell like Ragnar related gear, shirts, hats, whatever else they have, and we were over there, and then. You know, it's like, it's sunny. It's nice. We're like, yay, it's going to be sunny, you know, for the finish. And then all of a sudden, it just like so quick, like somebody just flipped the switch and like major downpour and everybody's like trying to hide under the canopies and the merchandise tent. And then like a couple minutes pass and then gone and it didn't rain again. So it was just weird. But yeah.
Yeah. So the weather was kind of the story, kind of made it a bummer in some ways because I think people didn't spend as much time outside of the van. Just kind of hanging out at exchanges and kind
of
being outside
the
van and cheering people on because everybody was kind of like trying to stay out of these downpours all the time.
Right.
So that was a little bit of a bummer. I think I didn't take as many pictures and shoot as much video as I normally do at the race because
of the rain.
I spent a lot of time in the van or like I don't want to be outside in pouring rain with my phone.
Right.
Because none of us actually brought a real camera.
Right.
Which was weird.
And even then, I wouldn't want to be out there with the real camera.
Right.
So whether I had that or my phone. Yeah, I mean, I think definitely the weather being different. Because like I said, the last 2 years, I remember running kind of in really, really warm weather, which was, you know, tough by itself. But, you know, this was kind of a different challenge. But I don't know. I kind of found actually like my last run, well, like my 4+ or whatever miler was actually pretty peaceful because it was just me in the rain and a couple of other runners. And it's just, you know, you just like, that's it. Like there's nothing else, you know, you're just getting it done. So
kind of very different experience than what we're kind of used to, but kind of challenging in a way.
No, yeah, no, I just definitely kind of would say challenging.
I mean, overall, I still had a blast
running
as a team, doing the Ragnar thing. Definitely, you know, I remember driving the last 5 miles to the finish line. I was hanging out the window with cowbells, cheering every single runner that we drove by. So I always have a fun time doing that. And it's really nice on that Silverado Trail to kind of do
that. You can do that pretty easily there.
And I had a lot of fun doing that and just hanging out with my people. We actually had one person in my van. I mean, this is the first time I've done Napa with 6 people in my van. In the past, it's always been 5.
Mm-hmm.
So in the past, I always had to run an extra leg. So it's kind of nice not having to run an extra leg, although I kind of missed it. Kind of missed not running
even
4
with
times.
your knee pain?
In a way. Okay. I mean, I would have suffered like crazy to do a fourth leg.
Yeah.
But I still kind of missed it in a way. But our new person, I think, had a lot of fun. Definitely found it to be challenging.
And this was his first Ragnar.
First Ragnar. Yeah. I think he found it challenging. Dealing with the rain was probably a new experience, I think, for him.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think he got more of the challenge of Ragnar versus kind of the fun craziness.
Yeah.
He got more of that.
So he's going to have to come back then.
Yeah, I think he's going to have to come back and
get more of like the social.
Yeah, when we're kind of spending more time outside the van and taking more pictures and shooting more video and more being a fool for 36 hours.
Yep.
What else do we want to say? My team did. Actually, we actually rented a van for the first time.
Yeah, so, you know, it's weird because this year's like there's lots of changes kind of
for us.
Like the weather was different. We had a full team, so you guys had 6 people for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
We were in different vans in terms of like we flip-flopped van 1 and 2. And yeah, you rented a van, which you hadn't done before.
Yeah, so
there's a lot of new things.
In the past, we've either done it in a Suburban SUV or a conversion van. But it was kind of a bus, though, as I call it, or a putt-putt, you might call it. So kind of a little bit of a broken down van. We were kind of always the poor thing of vans. So this was definitely a step up for us. I would definitely say if you had a Suburban available to you at no cost, I think I'd be okay doing it in that vehicle for free versus paying to rent a van.
Yeah, and that's what we've done all 3 years, my van.
Right.
Yeah.
If you don't have that, then I would say definitely go ahead and just spend the money to rent the van.
Right.
And so it was nice having the van, but wasn't awesome to have the van, I guess you could say. And the problem was, you know, the rental wasn't that expensive for us. I know certain Ragnars, especially if you go do the Utah one, the van rentals can be extremely expensive.
Oh, because there's so many teams.
Because there's so many teams, and you know, you go to a place like Utah, the
so it's supply and demand.
Yeah, becomes much more constricted, and so prices jump up way more than we have here in the Bay Area, where we have 3 major airports that you can rent vans from, along with tons of other just rental places all over the Bay Area. So renting here for this race actually isn't that expensive, and is pretty easy. What else I want to say?
I don't know. I'm trying to think if we missed anything else.
No, the only thing I said is I talked before about working on the pace file for the race. We spent a lot of time looking at our paces, we're coming in early, we're behind, we're ahead, and all that stuff, which is kind of weird. I think we spent more time doing that than normal. And a lot of times you just pay attention to the pace just so you can let the other van know when they're going to be on.
Right.
That way nobody's
we're ahead or we're behind or whatever it is. Actually, we should say that overall, I think we finished, half hour before we thought we would?
It was almost 45 minutes before. We predicted that we would finish, although in retrospect, I mentioned before that the pace file kind of had you put in your 10K pace and it puts okay, that's what you're going to run your first leg. Then it would subtract 5% for your second leg. I assume because it's night and it's cooler, you'd run a little bit faster.
Yeah.
And then for your third leg, it would add 15%, which I didn't really realize how much 15% was, which is way too big of a number to add.
Is.
So basically everybody ran way faster than predicted for their final leg just because 15% is such a big chunk. So I think the next Ragnar I do, I'm going to put it, actually use the 10K pace for their first and second legs. And maybe for the last leg, add, I was thinking 7 or 8%. And then kind of make up.
That's probably more realistic.
Yeah.
More accurate, I should say.
Yeah, because 15% was a big number for everybody. So everybody, we were they're running faster. We're running faster. Everybody's running faster. And I was how is everybody running so much faster than kind of what we predicted?
On the third leg.
On their third leg.
Right.
And I'm okay, 15%, and you start calculating on people's times, and I'm like, oh, that's quite a bit of chunk of time.
So right.
Nobody was slowed down that much, especially on a day where it wasn't hot.
True.
So now, whether it had it been hot weather, it might have been a different story.
Maybe it would have held to the 15%. Who knows?
So maybe 10%.
Maybe.
Or maybe adjusted for weather. The weather.
Exactly.
All right. What else do we want to say? Got the medals. Medals were cool. Shirts were cool.
Mm-hmm.
The medal was kind of weird. It was almost like a perfect meld of the medals from the past 2 years.
Yeah.
Which is kind of really
like
just
if
weird.
Those two medals had a baby, they would have had this medal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we'll actually put a picture of the medal. If you go over to the website, that'll be the embracerunning.com. That'll be the picture along with the show notes for this episode.
Right.
And
yeah, we'll see else? If we can get some more pictures up.
Yeah, we'll definitely put an album up on Facebook with kind of a bunch of pictures from the event so you can kind of get an idea of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But I think we took less pictures than normal.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to try to get some pictures from teammates.
Right. So it might take us a little bit longer, to get the album up.
Midweek. But then you can kind of get a gist of what we're talking about. Right. But I still recommend people do a Ragnar relay.
Absolutely.
I think Napa is, I guess, a good one to do. I mean, I can't say anything bad about why do a different one versus this one. So yeah. It's especially easy if you're local.
Mm-hmm.
If you're out of town, there's a lot of travel stuff to kind of consider and prices and I think that's probably going to have to help you make a decision on which Ragnar to go do.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely try to do one that's closest to you because you're going to have a better chance of getting a full team for that too.
Yeah. Sometimes it can be hard to get 12 people, although right. I always say you can do it with 10, 11, 9, or you can do a straight up ultra team, which is just six people, which is a whole different experience that we haven't done, but basically
maybe,
you're always
maybe
running.
Maybe someday, but we'll see.
Yeah, I was flirting with the idea for next year, but after injury setback, I'll step back from that one for next year.
Push it back a little bit.
Yeah, because to do it as an ultra with six people, you're basically looking at everybody's running, let's call it 35 miles. It's rounding up a little bit, but
yeah.
Which 35 miles, that's a lot of mileage.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's not all one time, but that's
a lot
of
mileage.
And
it's way less downtime, just total.
Yes. When you factor in the sleep and just being cramped in the van and like, my guess is for an ultra team, you're basically going to have to bring all your food with you because you're not going to have time to go eat anywhere.
You're never going to have like downtime or you're like off time when your van is off.
Unless you tell one runner.
Van is always...
like, you could tell your runner like, okay, you're going to go run these 20 miles and we'll meet you at the end of your 20 miles and we're going to go eat in the meantime.
Right.
But that would kind of be mean.
That would be mean.
Well, you can bring them back food, I guess.
I guess.
You know what you could do? You could order a pizza.
And just eat on the go?
Just eat on the go.
Like in the van?
Maybe you can have it like Dean Karnazza style, like have it delivered to you.
Like at the corner of whatever.
Yeah, that's actually a really good idea.
Yeah, that would be a good idea. I want to see that sometime.
All right. Anything else we want to say about Ragnar?
Nothing that I can think of now. I'll probably think of something and I guess I'll just mention it next time.
Yeah. We always forget something.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll definitely be back next year for Ragnar. Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure that our entire team will be back next time.
I think so.
So barring any injuries or any major problems, I think everybody's back. We've pretty much had the same group of people that have done it all 3 years.
Yeah.
I think at least 10
of us. Very,
very
minor changes.
Yeah. 10 of us are basically the same.
The same.
Which is why the vans kind of stayed the way they have. So,
right.
I think I
had a lot of fun.
I did too.
I mean, it was different. Like it almost felt like a whole different Ragnar in a way, you know, than what I've
because
done before.
Because of the rain and the vans.
Yeah. But yeah. I had a good time.
It was definitely nice seeing like new scenery.
Right.
For like everybody versus last year where we're kind of all seeing like
the same stuff again. So it's kind of nice to change it up.
One of the exchanges was at some cheese factory place that had some awesome cheese. I wish I actually could have bought some, but I wasn't sure it was going to like hold in the cooler.
Oh,
so
until,
I didn't buy anything. So I'll have to make a trip out there at some point to buy some cheese because it was really good. They had like a little store with samples and stuff, and that was actually really awesome. But so we'll have to decide what we're going to do next year in terms of who's going to be which fan.
Right.
We'll have to negotiate that.
Well, I think we should probably be... Well, we'll negotiate offline, I guess.
Yeah, I think you guys will end up being van one again.
Well, because you've had it 2 years in a row.
Because we've had it twice, and then this would make
sense
to
even it out.
And then I think from here on out, after that, we'll just switch off every single year.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And the course does change a little bit every year. So this year, the race was actually 197 miles.
Which is the longest it's been.
Yes. The first year we did was 186.
Right.
So maybe next year they'll actually get an actual 200 miles, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I've definitely seen Ragnar's.
So close, only 3 miles
away. They're 203.
Yeah.
So can go either way.
Yep.
All right, that wraps up Ragnar. Like I said, if we forgot anything, we'll mention it next week. If you have questions, let us know.
Yep.
Let's jump into some feedback before we wrap it up. Let's see, we heard about Beth. She was talking about the new Garmin GPS.
Yeah, which we talked about last episode. And she's kind of debating whether to wait for one of the new ones or buy one of the older ones, I guess you can say, because, you know, they're having like rebates right now.
Yes.
For that. So she can basically get them for a discounted price.
Yeah, I think
so. Running Warehouse. That's kind of, it's a tough one. Oh, yep. Yeah, Running Warehouse has.
Just put like a posting on their Facebook page because I think there's going to be mail-in rebates and I don't know which one to do.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's hard because you can't really play around with the new ones yet, mm-hmm. you know, because they're not, like, you can't.
And it's pretty different. So I think if you're willing to spend the money, maybe wait for the new one. I guess maybe either way, wait for the new one to kind of see and then decide.
And then decide.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We also heard from Brian, who actually had a recommendation for me dealing with my knee.
Yeah.
He had a shoe recommendation. So he actually recommended I try some Hokas,
mm-hmm.
which is actually funny because I actually bought some Hokas, which I haven't mentioned on the show yet. Probably like 2 or 3 days maybe before Brian sent his email.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
So we were kind of on the same wavelength there. And I'll wait till next week to kind of talk about running in the Hokas because I've now put, I think I've done like 4 runs in them. Actually did take them to Ragnar, did 1 run in them. Didn't want to go 100% on the Hokas yet. But I think from here on out, it'll probably be Hoka for the next month for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll share that next episode. I think I'll give you a little bit of a review and kind of what's different about running in Hokas. And thanks for the recommendation because it was a really good idea.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I was going to say that.
But it was actually really reassuring because he said he had knee issues too. And
it helped him.
Yeah, it kind of helped deal with it while kind of recovering. So that was actually reassuring that I was kind of on the right track. We heard from Margo.
Yeah, who did actually her first brazen race. You know, you guys have heard us talk about brazen races quite a bit. I mean, it's been a little while because we haven't done one
in a while. Yeah.
But she did the dragonfly, which is kind of funny because they talk about, you know, you're dragging uphill and flying the downhills. So it's called dragonfly. She did the 10K. She did say it was, you know, a tough course. You know, it's a trail, but definitely loved the medal. She said it was organized really well in terms of like bib pickup, you know, like no hassle, no problem, and definitely enjoyed it at the end. So
kind of all the stuff we've been saying about
pretty
brazen.
Much.
I did see the medal. It was actually really cool.
It is really cool. It's like a dragonfly.
Literally. Yeah.
Yep. So who else did we hear from?
Yeah. So congrats on the 10K, actually.
Right.
We heard from Dave, who actually said he's going to be doing the Napa Valley Marathon.
Yes. Now we have somebody else.
But yeah, lots of people seeming to do the Napa Valley Marathon. So
I have to take a look at that again.
Yeah. Maybe that's something you should definitely look into doing. I don't think I'll be quite ready for that.
I guess if I'm being serious about it, I need to look at my general calendar for the next, for the first half of the year next year.
Because
I think it's in March or something.
Yeah.
I have to see how that fits in.
But yeah, we really haven't gotten into like thinking of next year yet.
Other than Big Sur.
Yeah.
That's as far as we've gotten. Yeah, but he's also, I think, planning on doing, speaking of brazen, planning to do the New Year's Eve, New Year's Day double, you know, where you get the special bling, which we talked about before. You do a race on, well, it's not actually physically on New Year's Eve because of the way it falls this year, anyways. So
2 races, but there'll be medals that usually they connect.
Yeah.
Making one big medal if
exactly.
you do both races. So that's kind of really cool.
Yeah. And actually thinking about doing the Brazen Diablo 50K next year,
which
I believe would be his first ultra.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
But good luck with that, actually. That's a good race to do.
Yep.
We also heard from Aaron, who mentioned a race called the Ditka Dash 5K.
Uh-huh.
So Mike Ditka, Chicago.
Right.
Coaching football lore.
Yeah.
With the Bears. I actually looked up the website. I got to say, I would love to do this race.
It's pretty funny.
It's the website's actually really, really awesome looking. But let's see, what do you get?
We might have to link to that one.
You get an awesome mustache.
Uh-huh.
You get a t-shirt, which is kind of funny. The t-shirt kind of looks like, if you know Mike Ditka from the Bears back in the day, kind of looks like his old sweater and tie that he used to wear. But that's all kind of like on the shirt.
On the t-shirt
itself. Hard to describe. You get some aviator sunglasses.
Right.
You get a bib number. I don't know why that's on there. Hope you get a bib.
What if it said you do not get a bib? This does not, this does not include a bib number.
And you get a free bear. I just noticed there's like a little asterisk by the free beer, but I guess the asterisk is for
only the fact
you have to be 21.
Right.
So no free beer for the kids. But the shirts look awesome. I love the mustache. I love, you know, the sunglass thing. The website looks really cool. I'd actually really love to do this race, but I'm nowhere near Chicago. So
right. So Erin, let us know because I know she's going to do it.
For sure.
Let us know how it goes and send us a picture with your aviator glasses
and your mustache.
Your mustache and maybe your shirt. That would be hilarious. And your bib. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, I'll put a link to it because I really wish I could do this race. Actually.
Yeah.
Looks really fun. And what was the price out of curiosity? It said $45 through October 17th.
Was it? Okay. You know what? I didn't even think to look at the price, but that would have been smart to do.
Yeah, because I mean, speaking of crazy themed races, I don't think I ever mentioned, I saw like they have like an ugly sweater. It's like an ugly Christmas sweater run.
Oh, yeah. I remember you came. Yeah.
Which
the sweater dash, the ugliest 5K of your life.
Yeah, which I think is actually pretty hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I would ever go run a race in a sweater. even though it's a themed race.
Right.
But the only bummer with that was it seemed really expensive.
It was.
Because I think you got like an ornament, but no like shirt from the race. So I think when I factored in the fact like, okay, you get an ornament, but no shirt, and with the price, it just seemed very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of like, eh, that's kind of a bummer. But this Ditka thing looks actually really cool.
Yeah, I would do the Ditka 5K if we were close to it. So, okay, moving on.
Moving on. Congratulations to Chet. I think that's your name.
Yeah. Sometimes. And it was from Twitter, so it's kind of hard to tell.
Yeah, Twitter handles are sometimes misleading. Yeah. But ran the Fox Cities Marathon, his second marathon, actually finished with a new personal best by 41 minutes.
That's a huge improvement.
So killed
41
it.
41 minutes, yeah. So good job there.
Now, I bet it's going to be really hard to take a lot of time off
the next
that on your third marathon. It seems like we always see that biggest difference from like the first to the second.
So you're saying don't expect another 41 minute?
No, I don't think so.
Bummer.
But yeah, that's completely awesome.
And then still speaking of, that's funny, speaking of Fox Cities, Heather actually ran her half marathon number 10 for the year, which was the Fox Cities half marathon. So that's pretty funny. I think she was kind of, she originally in her plan, she was aiming for a PR at this race, but you know, that kind of went out the door because she's the one that did Tough Mudder and had an injury from the, what was it called? The Arctic enema?
Yeah, I think so.
So still kind of recovering from that. So no PR there, but does have half marathon number 11. Coming up, I think, this next weekend. So good luck with that.
Keep it up.
Yeah. And, you know, let us know how it goes. So,
yeah. Also, I heard from Beth, who in New York did the Fifth Avenue Mile, her first miler.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a.
We've been talking about.
Yeah. We were talking about milers for a while there.
Right.
And, yeah, we were actually talking about how to pace yourself for a mile.
Yeah.
And I think she mentioned that too.
Yeah. I think she said she never kind of really got like her breathing, like, I forgot the wording she used, but just kind of just. Didn't get adjusted. So, geez, no, just, which makes sense because
it's a new experience.
Yeah.
We're not used to
it. Even when you're doing like a 5K, like it takes a little while to kind of get your breathing under control, your pace under control. So I could definitely see how if the total distance is a mile, it doesn't really give you much time to kind of get all that settled.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's the feedback. Anything else we want to say before we wrap it up?
I don't think so.
I think if anything now, we'll kind of be shifting towards thinking about, we'll be, if you're tired of us talking about Ragnar, we'll be kind of done with Ragnar for a long while now.
Right.
We'll be shifting our thinking over the next couple of weeks to the Chicago Marathon, which we are now 3 weeks away from.
Yeah.
So I guess this past weekend actually should have been our, if you're following a traditional training schedule, would have been your typical longest run.
Right.
So typically, you know, your 20 or 22 miler.
Which, like I said, just basically did it a week early.
Yeah. So you kind of planned for that in advance. Yeah. And I'm in my own little world here, so I'll just count all my legs together at Ragnar as my long run, which still isn't that many miles, but looking forward to Chicago still, although I'm very nervous about it, but we'll see.
But more to come later on with
that. To come, so yeah, we'll be talking about that coming up. So anything else?
Nope.
All right, let's wrap it up, get out of here. Thanks for listening once again.
The website for the podcast is embracerunning.com. You could find us on Facebook at facebook.com/embracerunning. Send us any comments, questions, or feedback at feedback@embracerunning.com or leave us a voicemail at 925-400-7223. If you enjoy the show, give us a review on iTunes. So until next time, embrace running.